You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Lord, shall we command fire from heaven to come down and destroy them? The disciples of Jesus were angry. Their master was traveling through Samaria. They had tried to get a room for the night, but they were denied. In a human reaction common to so many of us even today, the followers of Jesus wanted to strike back and they wanted to get revenge. The Bible states that Jesus rebuked his disciples. He said no. The patient Savior then explained, he had not come into the world to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The pages of the Bible reveal a God of patience, a God of grace, and a Lord of endless love. Let's announce the challenge today, shall we? Can anyone provide a better description of our gracious God than that which was written by the Apostle John as he quoted the Savior's words? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then the Bible adds, for God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Sure, even by casual observation, any one of us can see why God would be fully justified if he decided at this hour to destroy our civilization, just as he did when he sent the flood in Noah's day. Read the newspapers. Recently, an article described this situation in a high school in one of our nation's cities. Out of 750 students, 50 of the girls are pregnant or have children. No one knows how many additional abortions have gone uncounted. The high school was featured because one of the high school girls, a junior, gave birth to a 5-pound baby in the bathroom, and when police were later called in because someone noticed blood, a fetus was found in the commode. The young lady was confused, and along with many other young people today, she is perhaps a victim of a society which has turned its back upon God, a society which knows there is such a thing as right and wrong, but yet a society which defiantly goes its own way, does its own thing, no matter how immoral and sinful it is, and no matter what it costs, and no matter who gets hurt or even killed. Would it not then be natural for some today to react like the disciples and to suggest that fire be brought down from heaven and to destroy those who are involved? God in his love, however, and in his grace, says no. The Apostle Peter says that God is patient, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. However, Peter also adds the solemn warning that the day of judgment will come like a thief in the night. Peter was simply saying that God is patient. However, let us never misunderstand or misjudge God's grace. Let us never abuse his love, and let us never remain indifferent to his gracious call for us to come to him. Oh, may the word of God be proclaimed freely today. His message of love and grace and forgiveness must be heard. God is a God of free grace, complete forgiveness, and endless love. God is also a God of righteousness and holiness. And so let us never tempt God. Don't abuse the grace he has shown toward you, and don't try to take advantage of his patience. I pray that you are not one of those individuals recently described by the Gallup poll. This poll revealed that a significant number of people today claim to be religious or Christian, and yet at the same time their actions deny what their mouths confess. They talk about heaven on Sunday, and they live like hell during the rest of the week. Newspaper articles reveal that cheating on income tax is now widespread. No one seems really to care all that much. In fact, because of this, certain individuals appear to prosper. But don't be fooled. God cares, and he sees all these sins, but in his divine grace, he is patient. He is permitting the guilty to change their ways. And let's always remember, it is as the sacred scriptures proclaim, God's justice will indeed be visited upon those who refuse to repent and those who continue to practice this sin. Several years ago, the wife of the president of Harvard University blew the whistle on another creeping social cancer. She revealed that we now live in a society where lying and speaking untruths has become acceptable. Deception and falsehood are no longer considered wrong. Husbands practice it. Some wives delight in it. Many children are encouraged in the clever craft of deception by their own parents. Children are expected to be home at curfew time and not 1 minute later, and yet they watch their parents break the speed limit almost every time they ride in the car. Yes, current moral attitudes continue to shock older adults. They remember that several decades ago, unfaithfulness among married couples was considered wrong. Sexual looseness was a lifestyle embraced by a distinct minority. Now, television, our nation's most powerful public education system, is training children to believe that infidelity is an acceptable way of life. In some soap operas, fornicating and adulterous couples are so busy crawling in and out of bed that the broadcast stations hardly have time to run the commercials. These are not gripes being aired by a disgruntled clergyman. Every situation I have cited has been raised repeatedly in the secular press. It's generally acknowledged that our society has morally shifted in the last 15 years, and that leads us to the question of the day. Is God going to permit this? Yes, He is. He is for the moment. God is long-suffering. But the Bible states that we had better not misjudge God's ultimate intention. God is now withholding His judgment, not because of His indifference, but because of His love and grace and patience for sinners like you and me. God desires no one to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ultimately, that time will run out. God's wrath and justice will fall upon those whose lifestyle remains that of the wicked. Observing popular trends in society can certainly make one feel like James and John. These disciples were traveling with Jesus their master. They were passing through Samaria on their way to Jerusalem. It was getting late. They needed a place to stay for the night. What a shock, then, for them to learn that they and their master Jesus were turned away. Their indignation was the same many today feel when they observe the moral decadence of our generation. Let's not be surprised when some people today who see the moral conditions of our society ask the same question the disciples asked, "Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven and destroy these people?" No, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Again we hear Jesus say, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him." Oh, this is good news, isn't it? It is greatly encouraging at this time of the year, when our lives are so often dreary and discouraging. Yes, your sins and mine have been many. Your failures in your life and marriage may be manifold, but God's grace is even much greater than that. Our God of grace does not give us what we deserve. Instead, He offers His blessings of forgiveness and strength in spite of all of our failures. Look at the woman described in the Bible. She had been caught in the act of adultery. Caught in the act. Her self-righteous accusers dragged her in front of Jesus. They condemned her. They expected Jesus to do the same, but He didn't. He said, "Neither do I condemn you." Oh, let us all welcome that life-giving announcement of the blessed Savior. To you, Jesus is saying today, your sins are forgiven. In Christ Jesus, God does not condemn you. In Christ Jesus, your vile sins are washed clean in the redeeming blood of the blessed Redeemer. You and I may not be involved in prostitution. Oh no, we may not be involved in that. Yet our sin of casual gossip may be just as bad. Consider the reputations which have been ruined by loose talk. Oh, it seems so innocent. Is not that also the way the serpent came to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Innocently? Sure, we like to claim that we are just passing on information that we heard, but we know at the bottom of our hearts that what we are doing is wrong. And what makes the sin of gossip so damnable is that no one wants to admit they do it. And secondly, it is so impossible for us to stop these terrible habits. Now again, this is precisely where Jesus comes in. The Bible tells us that even while we were dead in our transgressions and sins, our terrible sins of gossip and rumor-mongering, then the blessed Savior rescues us. In Jesus Christ, we are given a spiritual transfusion. We are, the sacred scriptures affirm, made alive in Jesus Christ. We read once more in the sacred Word of God, "For Jesus delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Does God want fire to rain down from heaven and destroy us, you and me? Is it God's desire to wipe out all who gossip? Does God take pleasure in visiting His judgment upon those who cheat on taxes and on those who are not good fathers or husbands or good wives? The answer is no, and He will be patient, waiting and wishing that all of us will turn from our ways of wickedness. What a thrill our Heavenly Father receives every time a sinner repents and turns to His Son for healing. Don't tempt God. Thrill Him. Please Him with your repentance. Don't push Him to His limit. He is long-suffering. He is patient. God desires to love you and to save you, but He is also righteous. Now, if you arrive at God's judgment throne, either as a result of a car accident or cancer, or war, or a natural death, and if you at that time have remained unrepentant and have refused to trust in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, then you will certainly experience the terrible wrath and judgment of God forever in hell. This is not what God wants for you. Jesus states in His loving message in the Gospel of John chapter 3 when He says, "God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him." Oh, get off to a new positive start this year, won't you? Look at God as one who loves you in a special way. God loves you with an even greater love than that which a mother loves her own dear child. When temptation and trouble raise their ugly head, rejoice. Depend on your Heavenly Father as your protector. When frustrations begin to dismay you, call upon the Lord. He will always answer you. Your help and hope is established in the promise of God, stated clearly in the Bible, and I quote, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus said that He came to destroy the works of the devil, and He did not come to destroy the lives of men. By faith, I beg of you and plead with you, cling tightly to the Savior and believe in Him. Trust only in His sin-cleansing blood. Jesus Christ is your answer. He is your salvation at this hour. He is your glorious heavenly hope. Amen.